Story time. The time during the week where we talk about what happened during our campaign. Our favorite moments, what we learned about ourselves, and what we learned about each other. Please join us now as we enjoy story time.
So, Chris, for story time this week, we played my campaign again. And so you guys in the previous story time about my campaign, you guys were setting sail on this voyage on the unending sea to see possibly, is there an end to the unending sea? Is there lands past the unending sea? Is the world, which is such a weird theory to most people in my world, is the world round? Like, does it connect? That's strange. Like, or do you guys just simply fall off an edge? Like, what will actually happen? And so you guys were able to finally set sail, even though some priests of Procon, some Tide Wardens, and some angry mob, and one particular member of the Council of Trekka were against it and kind of tried to stop you from leaving. You guys were able to set out, and you guys finally
Stephen Creel, don't forget that.
With Stephen Creel, the acolyte of Procon.
He'll come in, yep.
And you guys finally set sail, and you're now traveling. I don't think you've quite made it to the unending sea. You're still in the sea known as the Roaming Waters, that around Trekka and a bunch of the lands there. But you guys are sailing to the unending sea. So tell us a little bit about what happened while you were on the water this time.
Yeah, so we kind of just, I mean, we got to know the ship a little bit. Like, we found out, like, where each of us was stationed. Like, we kind of, like, obviously we would have known before, but it was the first time that we were ever introduced to, like, where we're officially stationed. And so Cedric went down to his, you know, area that he kind of tinkers around with, and, you know, he went to his engine area. I think Casey's character, Duradin, kind of just hung out in the crow's fort or the crow's nest area. And Stephen Creel, man, he was just hanging out with me because for some reason he has a strange, like, man crush on me or something.
Yeah, he loves you.
Yep. And so I tried so hard, so stinking hard to, like, pawn him off on somebody else. So I was like, hey, Stephen, you should totally go see what Cedric's up to. I'm sure he would love to get to know you. And so he kind of went to go find Cedric, and Cedric was having none of that.
Cedric was not happy with it.
Yeah, you got this.
Cedric just wants to be left alone in his engine room. Yep.
And that's kind of why I did it. I was like, I know that, like, Cedric will have fun with this. Not really. But so Steven goes down, he's like, oh, hey, Cedric. And I was just like, oh, I'm so glad he's not talking to me right now. I'm so glad he's talking to Cedric. And so
Cedric was working on the engines to the ship at the time, and he was working on something that he had, like, beads of sweat coming down when he was alone, because he's like, if I mess up with this specific thing that he's, like, trying to fix, like, it could blow up the entire ship. Like, this thing is, like, he was working on something that was highly, like, dangerous at the time. And then, of course, you sent Steven in, and he's like, oh, can I help touch? Like, and it was just like, he ended up, like, kicking him out and, like, yelling at him and, like, locking the door.
He made a sign that says, nobody else is welcome, especially Stephen Creel. It's just like,
Do not enter, especially Stephen Creel.
Yeah. And so then I think he came back and I tried to pawn him off on my brother's character. And then I told him to, like, go get food and things like that. Like, it was just a fun little time, I seriously was hoping to never see Cedric again. And, like, throughout the course of, like, this night, like, Sanjin eventually, like, kind of, I don't know if he likes him.
You kind of had think he to just kind step of, like, up and be kind.
It's the side of him that's like, every life is precious. He has to give this kid a chance. And so he, like, goes through, like, he goes to, like, great lengths to protect this kid through some things that happen.
Why did you have to protect the kid? Let's get into some troubles started to happen, basically.
Yeah, so, like, the first thing that ended up happening was we were standing in line for food, and, like, we weren't the first people to go. And then all of a sudden, like, people just started, like, vomiting and getting sick. And, like, I don't know if they were, like, shaking profusely or what, but, it was weird. Like we all had the same food. And you just noticed that, like, gradually more and more people started getting sick. And we noticed that it was the people that first started eating the food. And so we were like, all right, everybody stop eating whatever nasty Matrix porridge stuff it is that we're eating.
Especially because I think three members of the crew died.
Like, yeah, well,
they
yeah,
started
they ended
convulsing
up,
and like yep. foaming at the mouth, and then like you guys were able to save a couple, but a couple of them died of this.
Yeah, yeah, and so like we had already gone through this trouble with the Tide Wardens of Procon earlier in the city. And because Steven was there as an acolyte who's dumber than a box of rocks, like he, I don't think he even knows what poison is. Like, I don't think he knows a lot of things, actually. And he got blamed for it because it's like he is the logical choice in this matter, right? Like, somebody does something, like the Tide Wardens of Procon just had this big rally to try and get you to stop. Hey, there's an acolyte of Procon on here that's been on here, and now people are getting sick. Well, what do you think is going to happen?
And even
right?
though he was an acolyte of Procon, as soon as he got on the ship, he became a little cocky and started telling everybody that he was a Tide Warden of Procon.
Oh, hey, I'm a Tide Warden! Yeah, so it's like, dude, you're an idiot. Like, just stop. Yep. And so Zillicent, the Carnith, played by JP, came in and, like, arrested him, and, like, they were jerks. Like, they hardcore beat the crap out of this kid. Like, this kid can't. I mean, he's a little dude. Like, he can't compete against a Carnith and the Carnith's big, like, burly, you know, men that are going to
yep.
carry him off.
Oh,
and
nah.
so,
yeah.
like, Sanjin was just, he was so mad about this, right? Because it's like, we all know that he's not capable of doing something like this. Like, there is not an evil ounce in his body. He's just naive, right? And they just kicked the crap. I was so mad. Like,
yeah, and so, like, you guys went before the captain with this problem.
Yep.
And the captain had Sanjin brought up from, they threw him into the brig and then locked him up. And you had gone to see him there and saw that he was like bruised and like, yeah, had like scrapes on him and he was like bleeding. And and so the captain brought him up and you're like yelling at Zillicent and being like, you got to keep your men in line. Like, he wasn't bruised yesterday. Like, it wasn't something that just happened from falling, like, because I think that's what they said, like, oh, he tripped, like,
yeah, he fell or tripped down the stairs or whatever,
which it's like clear that it wasn't that. And so you and Zillicent are like fighting in front of the captain. And so what ended up happening,
we basically proved his innocence.
Basically, he got beat up because he went around the food to try and purify the food.
And so, like, I said to him, I was like, dude, well, you know how to, you know how to purify food. Go and help out with that, right? And this was not an attempt by me to
no, not at all.
Get rid of him. But he started sneaking around the food, and they just kind of assumed, hey, he's the guy.
He's back to poison.
He's back to poison it again. He's back to poison more food. And so he got thrown in the brig because of that. And basically, I mean, I did this whole thing in front of Zillicent and his stupid lackeys, where it was like, hey, he can purify this food. He's not stupid, right? And even then, like, I was like, I don't even know if he knows high enough spells to be able to do this. And I think he was, like, really shaky about whether or not he could do it, right? And so he ended up purifying the food. Like, he went and helped out with it. He even tried it afterwards to prove that he could do it. And sure enough, like, he totally purified the food, and it was fine. And yet they still wouldn't let him go. So then we went to the captain, we basically shared this whole story with him, and the captain ended up saying, like, hey, listen, I was there. I met Steven. Like, I know he's not capable of doing this, but for his own safety, we have to keep him in the brig until this is all settled and we really find out where it's coming from. Because how do you explain that to a mob when they don't have proof that it's really not him other than, you know, purifying the food? Like, they'll still kick the crap out of him.
Yeah, and three of the crew members die.
Yeah, they'll still kick the crap out of him no matter what. So it was like, all right, I guess I can get behind that. And so we went and explained it to Steven. And at this point, Steven is kind of like, he's with us for the long haul, man. Like, he's not.
I mean, there's no leaving now.
No, right, unless he dies or something. But even then, like, it would be really hard because we have this connection with him now. And so, like, Sanjin ended up staying with him because he wanted to make sure that the stupid lackeys didn't end up beating the crap out of him again. And so they're really starting to make, like, this connection that I really didn't want this connection to last. Really didn't want it to last. But for some reason, he's not going away. And so that was the first thing. The first thing of many things that happened.
So Steven gets thrown in the brig again. Like, yep. He's not happy about it. You're not really happy about it, but
I understand.
You listen to your captain and you understand. And so you kind of pull him aside and you're just like, this is how it's got to be. and you're like, and I will take watch over you, and I'll make sure that you don't get beat up again. And the captain said to the guys, like, if this guy comes up with more bruises and more scratches and more, like, if he starts getting beat up again, like, I'm going to personally see that you, Zelos, and the rest of your guards are punished for it.
Right.
So they've had a threat, you know, against them if they harm him at all. And so he gets thrown back in the bridge. You kind of spend half your time, like, doing your duties, half the time sleeping there with Steven. Steven's annoying, as always.
Meditating.
Still talks to
elves
you.
Don't sleep.
Yep. Trying to meditate so that he's not a...
I think at one point in time, I ended up going around the corner. So I was, like, still there, but I
and he's
couldn't.
Just like, he's
out of sight, out of mind.
Are you still there?
I just didn't say anything.
But... Steven was locked in the brig, but stuff kept happening, like
yes.
you said.
At one point in time, like, I'm in charge of inventory and stuff, so I'm taking inventory, and I notice that things are starting to go missing. Like,
yep.
Also, Cedric noticed that some things went missing from his area, too, like some wrenches and things like that were gone, which he kind of needs to make sure that the boat doesn't explode.
Yeah, he was pretty pissed.
Yeah, so some tools of his went missing. We had some, I think they were like, tiny daggers that went missing. We had some food go missing. Some of the other crew members even had, like, some of the scimitars that they were carrying started
going
missing.
Yeah, you guys were trying to, like, keep this under wraps, like, quiet, because you're like, we need to figure out who's doing this, like, amongst the crew, and not, like, we don't want them to know that we know that things are going missing.
Right.
So you guys walked in, you heard all this fighting going on, and the quarters for, like, the crew members, there's, like, people who are, like, fighting, and there's this big circle around, basically, like, the schoolyard fight.
Yeah, right.
And one of the crew members is, exactly.
Yeah.
And one of the crew members is accusing another crew member of stealing his scimitar, because it, like, and so you guys are like, all right, well, cats out of the bag, things are getting stolen, they're, like, the crew is aware of this now, and so you made all the crew members leave, go to the mess hall, and you searched the entire crew members' quarters.
Yep, and we didn't find anything, which I was like, wow, they must be really good at hiding things if it's one of the crew members, or they have some secret stash somewhere that we're not aware of within the ship. And so we decided that the only way to really get to the bottom of this was to set guards outside of the rooms where things had gone missing. And so we worked together with Zillicent, and we set up, like, I mean, we had a whole system. Like, if you went into a room, you had to sign in, you had to sign out at what time you came out, like, with what items you had grabbed and stuff. And then we would do inventory, like, after people went in and out, to make sure that what they took was all they took. And every once in a while, like, inside the inventory area, like, there was a guard outside. Nobody would go in and out through the night, and things would still go missing.
At least the guards would say that
nobody went in and out.
Yeah.
And so it was just like, what the heck? Like, why are things... And so, like, we searched the guards, and we searched the guards' quarters and things like that, because I was like, something is happening, and we're not...
Somebody's doing this,
and we don't know how or why or when it's happening. And so we noticed that, like, the window could be opened and people could come in from the outside. So we came up with this whole contraption to put bars over the windows on the inside so people couldn't come in and out. I mean, we had this whole, like, system down. And so things wouldn't happen for a while, for a couple nights.
And something else happened to the actual ship. So things are going missing. Food has been poisoned. And then during the middle of the night, Cedric was sleeping in his quarters. Mm-hmm. And what happened?
Yeah, we're all like, I mean, we're all pretty much out, right? I mean, I'm meditating. Yeah. Like, everybody else is pretty much, like, sleeping, because that's what you do in the middle of the night. And it was like, all of a sudden, there was this boom, this loud explosion, and Cedric wakes up, and there's, like, water pouring into his room. Like, he looked around, and he's like, what the heck? What in the world happened? Somebody had pointed one of the cannons down at the deck, like, specifically at the engines. Like, they were trying to sabotage what was going on or something, or kill Cedric or whatever, to try and stop the boat from, like, moving. And blew a hole through the deck, blew a hole through the floor, and there's, like, water pouring into this area where Cedric is at.
And so I had Cedric, like, he got up and he started to, like, try and mend the ship, but he, like, I had him roll a perception check to see if he could see anything from who shot the cannon, and he completely botched it.
Yeah.
But then, like, everybody's running to help, and they open the door to Cedric's engine room, and water pours out, and you just see Cedric there soaked from head to toe. Like, he's a gnome, so, like, it started to build up, and he was, like, almost swimming in this, but he's fixed it, And now you guys are like, okay, like things have escalated at this point because not only is stuff missing, not only was the food poisoned, but now it's under watch. So you guys are like, okay, it's not being poisoned anymore. But now like, okay, it was already bad enough when three crew members died from being poisoned, but now somebody is trying to sabotage the ship and you guys weren't sure if they were just trying to sink the ship or maybe shoot the engines.
Right.
But things have escalated. And so you guys are like, we need to figure out what is going on before something else happens. Yeah.
And then one day we found half eaten things.
Somebody,
of food.
One of the crew members came to you and it was like, he showed you, he's like, I found this in the supply room. And it's like this half eaten onion and this like apple core. And like, there's food that has like, is just on the ground.
And so I was like, all right, we got to go. We got to go and find what's going on in this room. And so we took a bunch of people down there. I think it was pretty much all of us went down into that room and we started searching. And we searched and we searched and we searched. And then we found a box. And inside of the box was one of the most hated, vile, despicable creatures in the world of Atos.
Yep.
It was a noggle. Yep. There was a noggle inside of there.
A noggle stowaway.
And he was like calling me like knifey, or was it pointy ears or knife ears?
Knife ears. Which is a very derogatory word for
which,
elves.
Sanjin, that's probably been the closest that he's ever come to like intentionally killing somebody. The funny part is even with the noggles, like the most hated creatures, he still thinks life is valuable. Like he will not kill.
But that noggle was pushing you to your limit, like, because like he's calling you knife ears and like he's
stupid.
Like
I've been searching.
You guys have him caught. Yeah, like he's full on noggle. He's calling you stupid. He's calling you knife ears. He's laughing because you're like, I've gone through the inventory in this room and you realize the reason why things were kept missing and nobody was catching people was because this noggle was stealing things from inside the room. Like he had like the daggers on him and he didn't have everything on him, but he was like making fun of you, saying like you were like going through inventory and he was like creeping from behind you, like going from crate to crate, just like saying you were dumb and you couldn't like spot him, and like he was right under your nose the whole time. But while he's caught, while he's in danger and like you guys question him, and like he and possibly somebody else was the one who poisoned the food, because you guys questioned him and he came out and you zoned of truth him. He was the one that poisoned the food.
We found like empty vials on
He's
him.
Still making fun of you and he's calling you names and he's basically saying that you like asked him where his stuff was and he pointed to like everything in the room. He's like, this is all my stuff. Like, because noggles think that everything is theirs.
Oh, yeah. So we were figuring out like, was anybody else on the ship? Were there more of him, you know, that were on the ship? And we had like communicated back and forth with the other ships and we found out that they were being poisoned too. So it was like, okay, we'd let them know that like, hey, we found a noggle on the ship. There might be more, like start searching for your stuff, which is really funny that there were noggles on the noggle's demise, which is just super funny.
Yeah, there was
to me.
None noggle on the noggle's demise and they didn't have a child. They just slit its throat.
They slit its throat, threw him overboard. Like they just would have none of it. And so we questioned him and found out that there was one on the noggle's demise. There was two on the sea chariot, I believe. And then there was three on the wet lash.
The wet lash.
Did we ask him to tell us where they were?
I think you did, and I think he actually
I'm pretty sure he's like,
know,
I have no idea where
he didn't
they
know, because the reason food started appearing was because you guys had found out that the latch on the window had been open. And so he was in this room, sneaking out of this room, coming back into this room. And so eventually you guys were like, oh, somebody's sneaking into this room from the outside. Right. So you made sure to seal all the windows completely, like you barred them up, making it so you thought you were keeping people out, but you were actually
keeping the noggle in.
Like you locked him in the room. So he was like going through the rations that he had stolen, but he couldn't like throw them out the window or anything.
He couldn't dispose of them anyway. Yeah. Yeah. And so now we're basically like, we don't know if he was the one that blew the hole in the ship or not. We're not sure if that was him, but we know that there's two other noggles. And I had this thought in my head. I was like, gosh, I really hope this doesn't turn into, you know, that old movie, was it Mouse Hunt, where they like destroy the whole house? I was like, gosh, I really hope that that does not happen to the wet lash. That would suck
lash.
So bad.
Mousetrap. That's a great idea, Chris. Thanks for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, so that's where we're at.
We ended with you guys finding the Noggle. And so now I'm like really excited to see, because I know Sanjin might hate this Noggle because it's called him Knife Ears and made fun of him. He's a Noggle. But I know that some of the crew is okay with just killing the Noggle.
Yeah.
And killing the other Noggles. And I know that Sanjin is going to have to stand up, even though he doesn't really want to, and stand up for these Noggles' lives. And I'm interested to see how that goes.
Yeah, my goal, and I'm thinking about this out loud now, like, Sanjin's trying to come up with this whole philosophy of how people should live their life, right? Like, this is his thing. Like, I'm writing a whole book, like, for him, like, doing journal entries and things like that for him. And my whole goal is to try and help this Noggle realize now how to know thyself and know thyself to their fullest potential. And so we'll see.
Good luck.
We'll see how this goes. It may be a failed attempt, but I'm going to try and rehabilitate this Noggle into the way that they should be. But that's really hard. That's really hard to do with a people group that doesn't want you to do that anyways.
A people group that thinks that they're the greatest people group ever, that everything belongs to them, and they're just super racist and terrible to every other person, and even to themselves. Like, they're not like, hey, we're friends among the Noggles. Like, they hate everybody except for themselves. Mm-hmm. They're just terrible creatures. Yep. But we will hopefully be hearing from the book that Sanjin is writing, which will possibly have a specific name to it soon. But I'm excited to hear from Sanjin's book of philosophy in the near future. So, and to find out how this whole Noggle trial goes. So, but you will have to listen to another story time to find out what happens to these Noggles.
Thanks for listening to this week's story time. We hope you've enjoyed these moments from our campaigns, stories about our characters and what they have done within our worlds. We hope that you have enjoyed your time here, and we hope that you come back again next week for another edition of Storytime.